today, what I see most from this decision is he is choosing that the Sixers give him the best chance to win a championship. It's not about legacy of going back to Cleveland. It's not about going to Miami, where he also played. Those were legacy plays with a chance to win a championship, right? And so he feels joining the Sixers, it's about winning, it's about competing. And my understanding is the last step for him was just making sure his family was on board.
That is Warren Sharp. No, it does sound like Warren, though. It is Shams Charania, who might have been the one to break the story today about LeBron. What's so funny?
I just noticed you always get to the nicknames, and I'm not as familiar with the reference pages as you are. But I've got this Steph Curry page open, and his nicknames here are one, two, three, four, five of them, and a couple of them are I think really, really funny.
I won't know any. I think.
Okay, well,
I consider myself a fan of his.
The page is headlined Stephen Curry, so Steph is one of the nicknames, like, so right. That's easy.
Like Mike is a nickname for me?
Yeah, right. Baby-faced assassin, Chef Curry, the Human Torch, and they saved the best one for last, is how they're listed, Threesus.
Threesus. No, that's beautiful. Our own baby-faced assassin is on the West Shore Hotline.
Jesus.
Sam Paniatovich, Fox 32 in Chicago. Sam, how's it going?
Well, I'm sorry to inform you guys that Patrick Kane followed me back to Chicago, not to Buffalo.
That's I am okay. So
we're,
happy about that.
We're relatively satisfied.
We're all
that.
Together on this. Right. I had no interest, 0%. I was worried that the Sabres were going to do that.
I had a little in that I thought if they made a big trade for the goalie, for Hellebuck, that might open up a space for Kane, and I would have been okay with that. But as currently constructed, they had no place to put him, and it would have been insanity to sign him.
No. Good for you.
You couldn't find room for him on PP1, really?
No. I mean, last year he declined.
I could find room for him on PP1. I just wouldn't be able to find room for him on a line.
Yeah. You know what's funny, too? Like, everybody's all, you know, nostalgic and excited, and we've seen so much B-roll of Kane holding the cup. And then I look at their projected first line with Frank Nazer, Connor Bedard, and Patrick Kane. That is the littlest first line in the history of hockey. They're all like 5'9".
I'm not even sure Bedard is good. I mean, he's not great yet. He's supposed to be great, but that hasn't really happened. Well, look at Sam starting with hockey on this beautiful July Friday. I mean, not LeBron, but, you know, of course, that we get the, it's a Buffalo, you know.
Yeah.
Kane.
He's playing the room.
It could have happened. He's playing the room.
It's nice to have all three of us here together. I feel like Sam has been on this show more regularly than the both of us.
Sam
on Fridays in the summer.
It's been ping-ponging.
Sort of like. Credit to Sam for always
hosts.
Showing up.
Yeah. So, I know you were on this, of course. The effect LeBron James signing has had on the NBA markets. How dramatic?
Well, they've definitely come down a ton. I saw the Sixers, you know, because everybody always texts me, what was the price before? So I've answered this question 800 times today. The best number that we saw in the market on the finals price was 22-1. And most books are in that 8-9 range. There's a 10 at Bet Rivers. There's a 7 in Vegas. Because somebody clearly bet a couple $1,000s and you know, created more liability. It really depends on how much liability you have. That's how you dictate your price. But let's call the consensus price now 9-1, down from a consensus price of about 20. And they are now, let's see, I got the prop shop up right here. To win the East, they are as low as +340. Only teams with shorter odds to win the title are the San Antonio Spurs and the Oklahoma City Thunder. DraftKings has them both at 270, and then the Sixers at 9-1. As for the conference, Knicks won, and the Sixers a very, very close second. +330 on the Knicks, +350 on the Sixers.
Is this one where, in fantasy, we call it closing line value, where you're drafting somebody on speculation that their situation is going to be a lot better later on, and by the end of the draft season, they end up going way higher in drafts. Is this one, to your knowledge, Sam, where Jaylen Brown, LeBron James, I mean, I heard somebody talk about the Sixers as a possibility for LeBron. I don't know about Jaylen Brown in that trade. Is this one where, you know, were sharps on the Sixers even before the trade, where they were thinking, you know, this could be a situation where whatever it would have been, 40-1 or some kind of number like that, maybe would have been a play?
Well, I did get a text this morning after the news came out about LeBron. I have a friend who bet Philly to win the title before they got Jaylen Brown. And I was flabbergasted by the price. Guess how high it was, his ticket.
Before Jaylen Brown? Yeah, I'm gonna say 50-1.
100-1.
Okay.
Double.
So he's sitting on that right now, and obviously he did his job. The team has to do its job. But you put yourself in a spot where you could, like, potentially sell that. You could hedge that. You could prop swap it where you could, you know, sell that ticket legally and somebody could purchase it. You're in a great spot. I haven't really done the calculus on it because I'm actually off today, at least in my real job. I would never call off this show, of course.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, never. I'm like a Ripken streak on this show.
I already gave you, I already lost you on
yeah.
that. Yeah.
The only time I don't come on is when Bulldog's like, yeah, we don't need you today. We got a press conference or something. But
that did happen.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, if you had 100-1 on Philly, what do you do? Do you then you just bet up a couple other teams maybe to win the championship? You know, the market is still saying, though, it's either San Antonio or Oklahoma City. Like, they respect the Sixers, but not like those two top teams.
No, but you can ride that to the finals, at least, if you're lucky enough to get, you know, through the East.
Yeah, I guess you could also drop a bomb on somebody to win the East, maybe like Boston or Detroit, and then you just kind of like you're keying out the Knicks. As we know, I think the last 8 years there's been a different champion in the NBA. I think that's accurate. Either 7 or 8 years. So odds are against the Knicks going back and winning it. So you want to like kind of key the Knicks out. Maybe you bet, you know, a little bit on the Celtics to win the East and then a little on the Pistons to win the East. And then you got the Sixers to win the title. And then you lose all those bets, of course, when the Thunder win it. But I'm thinking, like, what would I do if I had 100-1 on Philly? I don't even know.
Yeah. How, this is a little bit outside of like the odds, Sam, but like, obviously he's one of the most famous athletes who's ever lived. How warranted is all this? Like what did Philadelphia actually get? What did they buy today?
Well, they bought one of the best distributors in the history of the league. And obviously, you know, we could have that debate. Is he, you know, a top three player? Is he a top five player? I don't, whatever. I mean, they got a winner. Despite, you know, a lot of people not liking him or can't stand him, the guy wins. I mean, he's won a championship in three different locations now. He won in Cleveland. He won in Los Angeles. And, of course, he went down to Miami and won a couple there with the Heatles. I've never personally been a fan because he's a front runner, and I feel fully okay saying that. If this isn't the definition of front running, what is? You just joined a team with Joel Embiid, Jaylen Brown, and you know Tyrese Maxey. They like their second year guy Edgecombe, the kid that played at Baylor. LeBron is going to have weapons everywhere he looks, and that's always sort of been, you know, the fatal flaw. LeBron needs talent to win, but so did Michael, so did Kobe, so they all needed good players to win. But I think the reason he picked Philly is because he's got shooting. You know, there was a lot of smoke about him going to Miami, and they're like, well, you can put LeBron with Giannis and bam. And I'm like, who's shooting on that team? You know, you're going to build a brick factory with all the misses on that team. So I think they really like that he's going to come in there. He doesn't have to be the lead guy. He could be the third or fourth option. But then in the playoffs, he knows what to do. He knows how to space. He knows how to defend. He's still very, very good at his age. And, I said off the top, I think he's one of the best. Yeah, I think Magic is number one. LeBron is number two. He's going to get guys the ball in positions to succeed. And that's why he's there, because it's the team with the most talent and the team with the most versatility.
You know who else needed, as great as he is, surrounding talent to win? Threesus.
Patrick Kane?
Patrick Kane and Threesus.
Yeah, no, it's funny. One more thing on Kane. I have one guy in the media who's not a Kane guy. He goes, yeah, Kane was great, but he didn't do anything. Like, everybody else did all the hard work, and he just did all the pretty stuff. And I'm like, wow, you're such a hater. But he's not wrong.
No, he's not. He's never been a 200-foot player. I mean, you're not. He's not killing penalties for you. Like, that is just not. This is not happening.
No, I have no stones to throw at his career at all.
He's been an
I just didn't
great.
Want him on the Sabres. I mean, just for a variety of reasons. Sam Panayotovic here on the Wester Hotline. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog WGR. You've got Super Bowl odds handy, Sam. Is that something we can just put you on the spot with here?
Yeah, go for it.
I was thinking about, I was going to bring this up earlier, but we ended up talking about hats. I was wondering, like, which team.
So disparaging.
Which team has, like, so the fans of a team would have, like, maybe the biggest gripe with their Super Bowl odds. Basically, you know, it's some form of disrespect in how they come off. Like, the Rams are plus 550 at DraftKings, and Seattle is double that. So, you know, you're Seattle, you're like, wow, what just happened? What did I miss? Did they not watch football last year or something like that? And you've got Buffalo and Baltimore, for another example, at the top of the AFC list, where you have New England and Denver, and maybe other teams too, which might think like, well, again, maybe we deserve better here. Is there a team that, maybe this would be a team that would also equate to like a good value play. Is there somebody on that list that you think maybe should feel slighted?
I love that you gave me enough time. You vamped there to give me enough time to think about this. Thank you, Mike. I appreciate that. You're a true pro. I got two answers for you. Let me give you a mid-tier and then a high-tier. This team is seventh on the board right now. And in the last 6 years, I think they've never been lower than third. That's the Kansas City Chiefs. Mm-hmm. When you have Patrick Mahomes, a guy who's won three Super Bowls, and a head coach in Andy Reid who consistently gets the team to a level that it's supposed to reach or further, I see them, you know, 16-1. That doesn't even make sense. Like, it doesn't even compute in my brain that they're that high to win the Super Bowl, because they're routinely in that 6, 7, 8-1 range. So this is double up, right? They're 16-1. The lowest number I see is 15. That's an insanely high price given where they've been priced in the past. But in terms of disrespect, we talked about this, Mike, last week when Bulldog was off. The Washington Commanders at 70-1 is so high. I mean, that you see that as a Commanders fan and you're like, what did we do wrong? You know, I see like 66, 65, 60, 55, mm-hmm. but the high is 70. And this was a team last year that was probably the seventh or eighth team to win the Super Bowl. And Jaden Daniels was the fifth player on the MVP board. You know, it was like Allen, Burrow, Mahomes, and Lamar, and then Jaden Daniels. And his odds, as we talked about, Mike, have gone way up mm-hmm. to win the MVP. And they're bottom 10, bottom 12 to win the Super Bowl. Like, that's a slap in the face to a team that was really respected last summer.
Bulldog's going to like Cincinnati here. Baltimore at 10-1, Cincinnati at 30 for a team favored in 15 games.
I'd love to see 30. I've got 20 at FanDuel, but
you got to shop around, right,
yeah,
Sam?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Got to go shopping. But I saw 30 at DraftKings, I think.
All right.
Things are looking good for the White Sox, Sam.
They just keep winning series, man.
Yep.
That's another one. They took 2 out of 3 in Texas. They've just kept winning games. And I think it's insane to realize this stat. There's only one team in Major League Baseball this season that doesn't have a losing streak longer than 3 games, and that's the White Sox. Of
wow.
all the teams, I know every other team has had a spell where you lose 4, 5, 6, 7 in a row. Not the White Sox. And with Murakami there, Jesse Rogers covers ESPN or covers baseball in Chicago for ESPN, Cubs and Sox. And he said the thing that sets them apart from a lot of teams in the American League is they have insane lefty slug with Murakami, who, if not hurt, might have 35 home runs right now. He's back in the lineup. He's healthy. They've got Colson Montgomery, who's going to probably hit 40 home runs this year. Those two guys give them a 1-2 combo power-wise from the left side that might only be eclipsed by Bryce Harper and Kyle Schwarber in Philly. Like, teams with lefty slug tend to have good runs in the postseason. I think they need another arm, so they'll definitely be active at the deadline and maybe get a 2 or a 3 in the rotation to kind of bump everybody down a bit. But they hit the snot out of the baseball. And, you know, last year they were bottom 3 in every category, basically. Home runs, runs, slugging, OPS, OBP, all that stuff. This year they're top 3 in every category. So from bottom 3 to top 3 in 1 year is unheard of, and it's mostly because of those guys, those big lefties, Murakami and Colson Montgomery, that are slugging the snot out of the baseball.
They're new.
I'm glad Mike thought to bring up the White Sox, Sam, because I think I saw this. It's also possible I dreamt it, but did you post something on Twitter about a sort of a sushi push pop thing or something at White Sox games? Did that happen? Or am I high?
So Murakami. Well, you might be. I don't know. If you want to pee in a cup for me, Bulldog, that'd be fine. Let's see. The Mooney Sushi Push Pop, the Mooney Shot, has been introduced. This was, 2 days ago on the South Side. They honestly, it was funny. 2 years ago, they were the worst team in baseball ever, 41-121. But they were voted the best food in baseball at the ballpark. So the food's always been good there. Now they have a sushi push pop. I don't know. I don't know if I'd give it a shot.
Yeah, that sounds sketchy.
I was hoping they'd be home next weekend, but the Cubs are.
That's right. You're coming to town, right?
Planning on it. Yankees Cubs next weekend sounds pretty good.
Planning on it. When are you going to decide?
I like Friday, to take it to Friday the last morning. Minute. I have the time off. I don't have a place. But
Friday show, I'll let you know. Right?
I've got lots of friends who are going for that thing, the National, and I'm like 80-20, yes. I even connected with Joe Ostrowski about meeting him next weekend if I were to go. So, yeah, that is the plan at this point.
This is home for me, and if Owen Parker can attest, if I can take him around Boston and make him the king, imagine what I can do in Chicago.
Yeah, wow, that is – I might want to come even though I'm not going to this card show, but somebody's got to stay here and do the show.
I mean, Owen is 24?
Yeah.
I'm not 24, Sam, heads up. Don't get any big ideas. All right, thanks for your time today. Always appreciate it, I mean, especially when you're not even working today, so really good. Enjoy your weekend.
All right. See you, boys.
Sam Panayotovich, Fox 32, Chicago, formerly Chicken Dinner, although that might get kicked back up, and also with Odyssey when we first met Sam. Sigmund Bloom coming up in just over 15 minutes. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.